Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. This is Bob Wise once again coming to you from Forgotten Word Ministries. Want to talk a little bit today about Rick Warren's peace plan for the whole world. Rick is the preacher, you know, the founder of Saddleback Church out there in California, I believe it is. Got some pretty strange ideas about stuff. He wrote the, the book, Purpose Driven Life or Purpose Driven Church, something like that. I apologize for getting those names goofy. But anyway, he's got a new gig going that he's been working on the last little while. And what he terms is a peace plan for the world. And he says, our mission is now to solve the five greatest problems we face on planet Earth. But he seems actually to be disconnected to Bible prophecy that warns about the world getting worse, or when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. And also, Rick Warren doesn't put much stock in prophecy. His reasoning is that no one knows, so let's not bother with it. There's now over a quarter of the Bible that makes that null and void, I guess, now, if you're going to use that philosophy. You know, when about a fourth of the Bible's about prophecy, and he says, don't worry about prophecy, that kind of cuts it out. But anyway, he goes on to say here, Rick does, that the first reformation of the church 500 years ago was about beliefs. This one is going to be about behavior. The first one was about creeds. This one is going to be about deeds. It's not going to be about what does the church believe, but about what the church is doing. Now, keep in mind, now Rick's got big plans. This is not just something that he's going to try to do in his church. I mean, he's talking about worldwide. He says, the first Reformation actually split Christianity into dozens and then hundreds of different segments. Rick says, goes on to say, I think this one is actually going to bring them together. Now, he made that comment at the Pew Forum on Religion. That's documentable stuff there. I guess together into what is a question we should ask ourselves. You know, Warren has made this his life's work now. His church's activity, and he wants everybody to join in. That's what he tells us. So he goes on to say here, let's see, let me find it. The first Reformation clarified what we believe. This Reformation is all about how we act and operate in the world. It involves the key components of purpose, decentralization, lay mobilization, use of technology, and continuous learning. Churches that change are thriving and growing more effective. Churches that refuse to change will miss the Reformation and are dying. He said that that's part of the Ministry Toolbox Saddleback Sayings, February 12th of 2003. Now, I guess what you could say to that's a pretty big, bold ego statement to make your Reformation plan the way into the future. Martin Luther began an unplanned Reformation to get back to the Bible by challenging a wayward church. Rick Warren, on the other hand, folks, is challenging churches that are not wayward to join with him in a works-based reformation that widens the borders as inclusive to everyone so we can all do the same works together. The bottom line is that Rick says here, the bottom line is that we intend to reinvent mission strategy in the 21st century. This will be a new reformation. That's a peace plan by Rick Warren. And you can find that, by the way, folks, at saddlebackfamily.com. And you'll find links to that story. Saddlebackfamily.com. You'll see what Rick Warren's up to. Don't be deceived, because he's a good speaker. So anyway, he says, I have two goals in my life. One is a reformation of the church in America, and the other is a return of civility to society when people who disagree can still get along and like each other even if they disagree. Now, he said that on Larry King Live. Now, Warren's two goals in life, a reformation of the church and civility to agree to disagree, is a genre of our day, naturally. It's tolerance, and it's the theme of Rick's ministry. He says the first reformation divided the church. His reformation will unite the church. Well, Warren thinks he's a great unifier, naturally. And this reform will be about deeds, not biblical doctrine. He made that very clear. This includes other religions and even, you ready, folks, atheists. Well, what a wonderful plan for the church, right? He's so inclusive on all of this. He thinks that Muslims, atheists, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Buddhists, Hindus, everybody can all get together and forget about their doctrine. Just forget about the doctrine. It's not important. Let's just learn to live together and let's all just be happy and do what's right. And, you know, that's nuts. That's just nuts. The Bible says, be ye separate, that be not of the world. But anyway, let's step back a little bit and look at what the overall emphasis and the concept of is being presented here, folks. What happens when the church unites with other religions and humanists to do God's work? Well, the gospel diminishes, naturally. It's not the emphasis when you work with other religions. You can't have it that way. And that's what Rick's saying here. You know, put your Bible aside. Let's do this different. Well, this is a subtle, folks. Now listen, this is a subtle yet effective campaign that eliminates evangelism. Can we agree on works truthfully and honestly consider this? I don't think so. If you're going to work together with all these other religions, you certainly can't evangelize like the Lord told you. The Bible says whatever we do is to be done in Christ and by faith. And you know, this means that our actions are directly linked, inseparable with what we believe, which is the doctrine and practice. Warren shows what he believes, not only by what he says on fundamentals and other important matters concerning the truth, but also with his goals, his operation, and his deeds. So what he's basically saying is this: since we can't fully agree on what we believe in the Bible, let's just work for a common goal and not exclude others. This is his new reformation, based on works as a common unifier, not the Bible. That ain't going to work, folks. I mean, it might work on earth, but I'll tell you what, the Lord God himself will not be in it. He's offering a humanitarian campaign that will have the other religions to work alongside the church or us with them to accomplish solving these five problems. Without doctrine, how's one withstand other belief system influences to start with? You know that? You're liable to get evangelized by some other belief because you're not using your own. Scary thought. And, you know, he's big on the numbers. Listen, Warren believes that the more people we have involved, the wider the sectors, the greater the success. Even if we work with the world and secularists, why not? He is willing to work with other religions to do his good works anyway, isn't he? He said, Rick Warren said, the future of the world lies in religious pluralism. That's from an article. Rick Warren, pastor argues faith is missing link by Maria Kafala, February 5th of 08. The future of the world lies in religious pluralism. There's only one true religion, folks. Not 2, 3, 4, 10, or 20, or 100. There's one. I tell you. The Bible says in Revelation 17, it is not what God intends and wants people to have a choice other than the spirit age. It says, government and industry can't succeed in solving social problems, folks, unless they include faith groups with their large volunteer forces and the worldwide networks. That's what Warren says. But the Bible says different. Warren's solution, he believes, is the faith sector as a third leg of the stool of successful development. So, I mean, he is really... he's a good talker. I really pray that people don't fall for this nonsense. You know, he says businesses and government alone can't solve the problems. They haven't or they would have. The third leg of the stool is the churches. There's a public sector role, there's a private sector role, and there's a faith sector role. That's insane. So Rick Warren says, some people do what they do because of a personal motivation. I do it because I have a Savior called Jesus Christ who said, love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on to say, now that doesn't have to be your motivation for me to work with you. It's just my motivation. I'm told to love my neighbor as myself, and so I have found that faith organizations are far more willing to partner with NGOs and governments than vice versa, and I'm saying it is not going to get done unless you get all three of the legs of the stool together. So see, he makes it very plain right there, folks, that it's not necessary that you believe as he does, just as long as you work with him. It's really sick. The Muslim Public Affairs Council says, when I asked Warren to name something that he admired about Muslims, he answered without hesitation, "You people are not afraid to talk about God," he said with a smile. "It's always God willing or God bless or thanks be to God. That's something I admire because I come from the same place." Holy moly. That's an article posted by Ibu Patel called Rick Warren, Interfaith Activist, 9-28-08, 9-29-08, excuse me. I suggest you people try to find that article by Ibu, E-B-O-O, Patel, P-A-T-E-L, Rick Warren, Interfaith Activist. When you got all these other religions involved, folks, how does the kingdom of God expand? Can anybody explain that to me? Well, of course it can't. There's just no way. Rick Warren was on a Charlie Rose interview one time. And he said, now you're never going to get Christians of all their stripes and varieties to agree on all the different doctrinal disputes and things like that. But what I am seeing them agree on are the purposes of the church. So it's not the doctrine, it's the purpose. So if the purpose is to love one another, then everybody's just supposed to love one another no matter what. In other words, the end justifies the means? I don't think so. That's not what the Lord said. When Jesus sent his disciples into a village, he said, find the man of peace. And he said, this is what now Rick's saying. Find the man of peace. And he said, when you find the man of peace, you start working with that person. And if they respond to you, you work with them. If they don't, you dust the dust off your feet, shoes, you go to the next village. Well, who's a man of peace in any village? Or it might be a woman of peace. Who has the most respect? They're open and they're influential. They don't have to be a Christian. In fact, they could be a Muslim, but they're open and they're influential, and you work with them to attack the five giants, and that's going to bring the Second Reformation. That's May 23rd, 2005, from the Pew Forum's biannual Faith Angle Conference on Religion, Politics, and Public Life. They do not have to be a Christian, he said. That's just absolutely wrong. Warren's plan is to make a union with Islam, secular humanist, and anybody else for this plan to work. There are no boundaries, not in God's word, and not in common sense either, folks. Trust me on this. Not in common sense either. I tell you, it's crazy. How can he say he doesn't have to be a Christian? So find a non-Christian, I guess. Actually, he said he did in another interview, Purpose Driven Rwanda, by Timothy Morgan, in Christianity Today. He said he doesn't have to be a Christian. Find a non-Christian who's influential, open, a Muslim or an atheist. Doesn't matter, right? Well, if the man of peace can be an atheist, then this plan of his is not about promoting the gospel, is it? So it makes you wonder what he's really thinking here, doesn't it? If he's not promoting the gospel, he shouldn't be out there promoting anything. You can't join with Islam as a religion that Christians can work with to build interfaith projects. You just can't do it. It's wrong. His intentions are not about leading people to Jesus as a solution to the world's problems. His intentions are to try to solve the world's problems without Jesus. And you can't do it, folks. It's impossible. It just is impossible. Jesus told us in Luke 10, 1 through 12, I'll just tell you quickly, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out the laborers into his harvest. How can you go out and harvest if you're not going to take the doctrine and the gospel of the Lord with you? Unbelievable, isn't it? Crazy, crazy, crazy. Listen, let's continue this tomorrow, folks, would you? We'll talk to you soon. God love you.